peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. Winds of change may blow your way. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. His mercy's new for us today. There's peace in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the storm.
Today on the Level Pastor Poncho, we'll continue our studies in the Gospel of John. And today we're going to look at another John, a man who preached and baptized in the wilderness. The author John, in our lesson today, is not really interested in the John, his dress, his wardrobe, what he ate, but rather his role that he played. He was a witness, and he pointed people to Jesus. And Pastor Poncho will be talking about that today, as well as be teaching us how we become a witness for the Lord, as we'll draw lessons today in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, coming up next on this edition of On the Level Radio.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
And now with today's program of On the Level, here's Pastor Poncho.
When the Bible was translated into Greek, the word Mashiach, Messiah, was the word Christos, the anointed one. And they asked him, are you the anointed one? He says, no, I'm not. The next question, are you Elijah? Why would they ask if it's Elijah? Because Malachi, remember, Malachi, in the last chapter of Malachi, he says, the coming of the Lord will be given by a forerunner by the name of Elijah. To this day, our Jewish friends are waiting for the coming of the Lord, and they're waiting for Elijah. To this day, Elijah is going to come first. The Bible says that John would come in the spirit, in the likeness of Elijah. And Jesus, you see later on, Jesus authenticated that he is Elijah. John the Baptist was Elijah. And thus, he brings the message. Are you Elijah? He says, nope, I am not. So they ask him another question. Are you the prophet with a capital P? Where did that come from? You see, Moses, the greatest man in the Jewish faith, in the Jewish nation, Moses, next to Elijah, Moses stands in the highest echelon of the Jewish faith. But even Moses said in Deuteronomy 18:15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst. From your brethren, him you shall hear according to all your desire of the Lord your God. So Moses prophesies that it's going to be a prophet greater than Moses. So they asked him, are you the Christ? Nope. Are you the forerunner? Are you Elijah? Straight up, are you Elijah? Are you Elijah? He says, no, I am not. I am not Elijah, I'm John. If they would have asked him, but did you come in the spirit and the likeness of Elijah? He would have said, yeah, I am. But they asked him, are you Elijah? No, I'm John. My name is John. Are you the prophet? He goes, nope. So if you, and they ask him a second time in verse 22, they said to him, who are you? So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Tell us about yourself. Oh, well, you see, my mom and dad, they're old. And I live in the desert, and I lived all my life, and now I come here, and I just want to just give my name to the papers, and I just want ink. I want people to know me. No, he said, me? I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice crying out in the wilderness, make way straight the way of the Lord, just as the prophet said. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, here's the next question. Two times they asked him, who are you? Now they're asked a third question. Why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, if you're not Elijah, nor are the prophet? In other words, why do you baptize if you have no authority? You're just a zero. You're a dingbat. You're a non-entity. You're a nobody. look at you. You're a 5150. Why are you baptizing? See, John had authority from God. When you look at Luke chapter 1, it was prophetic because the word of God says that John was going to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. You find that in Luke chapter 1, the birth of John the Baptist. It was prophetic. God had already commissioned him, anointed him to become the forerunner. So the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to John in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, he began to preach this baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of the sins. Why do you baptize? Now keep in mind that the word baptize means to dip or to submerge. It refers to immersion. Now a lot of people don't understand this, and you need to get it. Baptism is not relegated to the Christian faith. Baptism, like I shared with you, is the word ablution. It's a cleansing rite. It's a ritual before people prepare for a religious rite. But this was not entirely a new rite, because Jewish converts require a form of self-immersion. Nobody will baptize you. If you were a non-Jew and you wanted to worship and you want to partake of the Jewish faith, it was a self-immersion. And when you go to the temple in Jerusalem today, they have all kinds of pools that only one person can fit in there. And before anyone will go into the temple, even Gentiles, they had a court of the Gentiles, the Gentile would have to go and dip himself just in this, like, bathtub. They're all over the place. They're parked all over the temple, even today. And so it was nothing unusual. But what was unusual is that baptism was relegated only to non-Jews. But we are told here that John is asking Jewish people to be baptized, and that tripped the people up in Jerusalem. He's what? He's baptizing Jews? What is he? What is he preaching? He's preaching salvation. He's preaching repentance. And we find that recorded in Luke chapter 3. The Bible says, the people asked John, saying, what should we do then? John answered them and said, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none, and he who has food, let him do likewise. Then the tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they said to him, teacher, what should we do? And he said to the tax collectors, collect no more than what is appointed for you. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, sir, and what should we do? And John said to the soldiers, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. He was preaching a baptism of repentance. Now, when you look at the word repentance, it is the Greek word metanoeo. Metanoeo means a change of mind. For example, let me give you an example. You're getting gas right here off the 5 freeway. You're getting gas right here on Telegraph. I'm getting gas. You seem like you're from North Dakota. You're lost. And he says, you know, can you tell me? I want to go to Universal Studio. And I've been going on the east, going south, man. I've been going since downtown LA. I've been going east on the 5 or south on the 5. Now, if you are a decent person, you don't want to have fun at the expense of other people, you will tell them, Menaneo, stop where you're going. Let me give you the directions. Here they are. In fact, here's a map. Now, it'll be ludicrous. It'll be so stupefied for anyone to have a map in front of you and says you're going the wrong way. Here's proof that you're going the wrong way. Go the right way. That's what repentance means. Ah, I've been going the wrong way. Thank you for showing me the way. Now that I have proof, I'm going to go the right way. Those people that came to know the Lord today, that's what happened today. The Lord stopped them and said, you're going the wrong way. The way you're living today is not the right to live. God will show you the way. And you said, you stood up and you said, I want to be shown the right way. And you repented. You said, I've been going the wrong way. Now that I have Jesus as my guiding point, I will not be lost. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So the word repent basically means to stop and have a change of mind. But here is different. It has to be an inner change of direction and purpose. It is a turning from sin to righteousness. He tells the Jewish soldiers, don't intimidate the people no more and be content with your wages. He takes the tax collectors, don't steal anymore, only charge what is appropriate. You who have a lot, give to others. So it's no longer just an external religion. It's an internal religion motivated by repentance to do right. And you do that by confessing your sins, I'm a sinner, and they will be baptized. He was getting them ready for the coming of the Lord. And that's what it is. And so as he was baptizing them, it is in verse 27, it says, verse 26, John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. Now, I emphasize to you, you notice verse 26. Notice at the end of verse 31, John says, I came baptizing with water. Notice verse 33 in the middle. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with what? With water. Three times John says, I came only to baptize with water. The emphasis comes down to a boiling point where he says at the end of verse 33, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. So there's a great emphasis here. John says, man, I just came to baptize people with water. I came to baptize people with water. I came to baptize people with water. But there stands one among you whom you do not know. Him, he says, I am not worthy to unlatch his sandal, because that was the job of a slave. And John said, I cannot even be a slave. I'm not worthy to be a slave to unlatch his sandal. And he says, I baptize with water, but he who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And now he gives testimony of what happened. He says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. Again, I bring to your attention to verse 15. John says, it's quoted by John, the writer. This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 27. It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. Three times, John says, he's preferred over me. He's preferred over me. When we get to chapter 3, he gives us one of the most dignified statements. He says, for I must decrease and he must increase. What a wonderful loyalist. John the Baptist said, listen, I'm just a voice. I am not the prophet. I am not Elijah. I am not the Christ. I'm just verifying, authenticating what Isaiah said in chapter 40, that the comforter, that the Messiah, that the leader of Israel, the comforter, salvation, redeemer would come. If you can only look at the prophecy of Isaiah, you will know who I am, but they didn't bother to look. So who are you? Why are you baptizing? Listen, I only baptized with water. I only baptized with water. But there one stands before you. He says that he is the one. How do I know he's the one? Let me testify to you, John says. Verse 30. Verse 31. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore what? Witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. And you can look at Matthew, you can look at Luke chapter 3, Mark begins in chapter 1, the baptism of Jesus. Time does not permit us, but the Bible says that God spoke. No one else listened but John. John didn't want to baptize Jesus. In fact, John knew. John was baptizing the baptism of what? Repentance for the remission of their sins. John knew that Jesus had no sin. So why would he baptize Jesus? And Jesus said, let us fulfill prophecy. And Jesus wanted John to baptize him. Why? There's no sin. He was identifying with us. Death, burial, and resurrection. And the Bible says when Jesus went underwater and when he arose, the word from Father, it says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And there you see the Trinity. There's the voice of God, the Spirit coming upon Jesus. You see Jesus, the Spirit, and the voice of God. You find the Trinity. And John said, that's the sign that God gave me. He told me, when I see the Holy Spirit, and I saw the Holy Spirit descending upon his head like a dove. It wasn't a dove. It was like a dove. It was resembling a dove. Dove is symbolic of peace. Harmless. Harmless, peaceful. And the Holy Spirit came and stood. Notice that it says here in verse 32, descending from heaven like a dove, and he, the Holy Spirit, remained upon him. Verse 33, second time he says, I did not know him, but he, the Father, who sent me to baptize with water, said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I have testified that this is the Son of God. Having said that, there's the emphasis on the baptism of the Spirit. Clearly, he says here, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He starts speaking in verse 29 with the atonement language. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That's atonement language. The Lamb was an animal of substitution. Everyone knew when he said the Lamb of God, that's atonement language. The people of Israel were very familiar with lambs because they were used for sacrifices. Each Jewish family had to have a lamb at Passover to sacrifice. And during the year, two lambs a day were sacrificed at the temple, one in the morning, one in the evening. Lambs were used for special sacrifices. And these lambs were brought by men to men. And this lamb was brought to men by God. John said, behold, this is the Lamb of God. It takes away the sin, singular, not plural, the sin of the world. Their sin and sins. And he said, he came to this to forgive us of our sin. The original sin in the Garden of Eden. The original sin he came to undo what Adam and Eve did. He came to give us life instead of death, instead of damnation. He gave us eternal life. Instead of conviction, he gave us the empowerment of God. So he says, hey, the Lamb of God has come. And I know that's him because I'm a witness. I saw, and he who sent me to baptize with water, he told me that when the Spirit of God falls upon a man and that Spirit of God remains in him, he will be the Christ. He says, and I saw it, and I heard the voice from heaven, and he told me, this is him. And then John says, I testify that this is the one. Now, the baptism of Jesus, Matthew 3:11, Mark 1:8, says that he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire is a symbol of purification and power. In Chuck Smith's book, Living Water, he says this, the Bible teaches that baptism with the Holy Spirit is separate and distinct from regeneration. To become formed again or produce a new born again to restore. It is one thing to be born of the Spirit. It is yet another to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We at Calvary Chapel, we believe that there is an experience of empowering of the Holy Spirit that's distinct and usually separate from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that takes place at conversion. Many people get weird. I became one, a weird one. You see, I was raised in a Baptist church here in East LA. This is where all my hymns come from. And so we believe that once you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We don't believe on a secondary. We don't believe on a distinct and usually separate entity. We don't believe that. And for a long time, I refused. And when I became a member of Calvary Chapel, I was still very, what is that word? I was retentive. I did not want to do anything with that. And one day in 1984, went to a men's retreat. Pastor Jeff Johnson from Downey Calvary Chapel, at the men's conference, he says, you need to have the upon experience. Some of you need to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And as men got up, I said to myself, I don't believe in that. But I stood up anyway. I said, Lord, if you have something else. I was hoping to experience some kind of empowerment, some kind of pizzazz. I thought I was going to, woo-hoo-hoo, you know what I mean? I thought I was going to have something exciting. I didn't feel nothing. But I just felt like I had to go home. I had to go home. It was a retreat. It was Friday. And I couldn't handle it no more. I told my roommate, I got to go home. Is everything all right? Do I smell? How come you have to go? I said, I have to go, man. And we didn't have cell phones in those days. I got a public phone. I told Millie, hey, don't freak out, but I'm going to go home. I'll be getting home around 1 o'clock in the morning. Is everything okay? You all right? I'm okay. I just need to be home. I don't know why. And on the way on the freeway, I just begin to cry and 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 to cry. That's so sad. I'm crying. Why are you crying? I don't know. Why was I crying? I tell you why. Because I saw my evil, darkened, ugly heart. I wanted some sensational explosion. I want to speak in tongues. The Lord just convicted me so powerfully that I need to be a better husband, a better father, that I needed to get my act together. And the compunction was so powerful that it began to change my life. I believe in it ever since. The empowerment, the Holy Spirit coming upon you. You see, some people, some say that it's not. We are told in John chapter 20 on the resurrection, on the day of the Lord, when he resurrected, the Bible says the same day at evening, on Sunday morning, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst, and he said to them, peace be with you. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also sent you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Receive the Holy Spirit. And he blew on them. Now that's kind of silly. Wait a minute. We go back to the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Jesus was not just breathing them. Jesus was not watching Christian television because he seen that. He just went, and he told them, receive the Holy Spirit. And then 40 days after his appearances, he ascends into heaven. And he says, wait in Jerusalem. For what? For the promise of my Father. And what is the promise of my Father? The book of Joel. Jeremiah, the prophets of old, has said, I will pour out my spirit upon the church. And there in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, 120 people, just like you, normal people, including the Virgin Mary, chapter 1 of the book of Acts, verse 14, says that Mary was with the disciples waiting for the promise of the Father. And then the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, a mighty rushing wind enters, and it engorges the whole room. And all of a sudden, as tongues like fire came upon each believer, and they all started speaking in glossolalia, where we get our word glossary. They weren't mumbling. They weren't doing that. They were speaking a distinctive dialect, where people on the outside, 9 o'clock in the morning, they heard that all 120 people speaking in different languages, and they were all praising God. And the people on the outside were saying, woohoo, they got some new wine. They hit the T-bird now. They're loaded. And the Bible says that Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, says, men and brethren of Israel, we are not loaded. This is what Joel promised, that the Spirit of God will fall upon mankind. And this is what you see today. And the church of Jesus Christ was never the same anymore.
Well, some great reminders, some great lessons shared today by Pastor Poncho on this edition of On the Level Radio. As we have been reminded of what it means to be a witness for Jesus Christ, as we've been looking at those examples from John the Baptist and what it meant for him to be a witness for the Lord Jesus, pointing to the Lord as the Lord and Savior. And there's still much more to learn in this subject, and as well as in this lesson in the Gospel of John, which we'll do on our next program of On the Level Radio, and I hope you can join us then. Well, for the latest news and information, to know anything and everything about our ministry here at the Ark Montebello, as well as being able to review this study again, simply go to our official website. That's where you will find everything you need to know about us, all the social media links, as well as being able to hear this study again. Simply go to our website at thearkmontebello.com. That's thearkmontebello.com. At thearkmontebello.com. And then please make it a point to join us for our next program of On the Level with Pastor Poncho Weddings.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. Peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
On the Level Radio is brought to you by the Ark Montebello in California.